This is Talk Anime, episode number 13, going over the day I became a god. It's me, Solo, here, joined with Noob, if you'd like to introduce yourself to the audience today.
This is the Noob.
This is the Noob, yeah. We're still kind of fighting about how we're going to start and end these things. Any suggestions would be appreciated, or we can just always open with something different and make it random as fuck, because that's just how we do things, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, before we get into the episode going over the intro and everything, we did want to settle things. If you listened to last episode, it got a little heated towards the end about what we were going to make the final My Anime List score for Saikano. And after long discussion and debate and going onto the Reddit and the voting and the polls that you might have participated in, we have decided on a final score of 7 out of 10, which... it's a disappointment to both of us. I clearly wanted it to be a 3.
And I clearly wanted it to have a 10.
Yeah, and Saikano Reddit agrees with him, but the general other people that aren't fucking fanboys, even some of the Saikano Reddit, a lot of them gave it a 7. Like almost over 30 people voted on a 7.
So, well, those people need to be kicked off the Reddit.
And they were even on, they're the fans of the show. They're on the Reddit. So, and 30 people agreed. And that's just the average score we're going to go with. So, and we're doing that. Well, here's what we decided, right? We didn't talk about this before, but I did want to give the movie 1 point higher. So the movie I'll say is an 8, and then the show will settle with a 7. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
And then, because I think the movie was a little bit better than the show. But yeah, with that said, let's just get into the intro of The Day I Became a God. So The Day I Became a God is a 2020 Japanese anime series produced by PA Works and Aniplex. It was directed by Yoshiki Asai. I don't know how to say any names, as you guys might know. It was originally aired just last year between October to December. It was originally conceived by June. How do you pronounce his last name? Madai. He also wrote the screenplay. It's based on the visual, or his studio was based on the visual novels, and their brand name is Key. This one doesn't have a visual novel tie-in, at least not yet. Might get one in the future. But he's also the guy who created Angel Beats and Charlotte. So this is his next series. That's why we decided to cover this one, or I decided to cover it, because it's kind of his next work, and I wanted to see how it held up comparison to those, because we reviewed both of those pretty highly, so I figured this might have the same vibe. A brief summary, though, of the show is Yota Narukami is a student focused only on his college entrance exams. During his last summer break of high school, he is approached by a girl named Hina, who says she is a god of omniscience. She tells him that in 30 days, the world is going to end. So with that premise, seemed interesting enough. So go ahead and tell me, Noob, what were your overall impressions, thoughts, opinions about the show here?
I personally really love this show. One thing I will say, I've seen all the reviews all over the internet talking about how this show is either mediocre or somehow it just falls short, and I don't agree with any of that. This show, from beginning to end, it had a very interesting plot. There was parts where, yeah, like the plot wasn't necessarily like going anywhere, but it was still keeping me engaged. So you end up caring quite a bit about just every character and what they're just doing in their everyday lives, more than like an overarching plot that has to have some like finite conclusion that just like, you know, makes it overall worth it, like watching. As far as the art style and stuff, I thought, you know, like just like Charlotte and Angel Beats, it was pretty solid. You know, it had some pretty decent like music and stuff too, but it was definitely no Angel Beats in that regard. But overall, I thought it was a great show. I love the characters, I like the setting, and in particular I really liked Hina. So that was my overall impressions of the show. What were your thoughts on the show?
Yeah, so I kind of went into the show kind of blind, which I presume you said you were watching it weekly when you originally watched it, right? So yeah. You kind of just watched it with the seasonal rotation, and you didn't even know it was by the same guy that made Angel Beats in Charlotte. And
no,
all
I when you told me about that, that just took me off guard. Cause I was like, yeah, I could see a little bit of, Angel Beats in there with how it ended and stuff. But I would have not been able to put two and two together if you hadn't told me that.
Yeah, and it is one of those things. I did know that going in, and I did actually ask like a Reddit post, specifically on the Charlotte Reddit is what I chose to see kind of what those people thought of it. And a lot of them did kind of give me the impression that the show is, they might have enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good as like Charlotte or Angel Beats in their opinions. And a lot of them said it fell apart in the second half. But the thing is, as we kind of might compare later on, this show, I mean, you really can tell, like, once you know it's by the same guy, it kind of makes sense because it's kind of his style. I mean, I even saw some really negative reviews on my anime list, people that literally gave this 1 out of 10s that were saying that they're tired of the way he makes his anime, and it's the same retired tropes, and that everything always falls apart in the second half of his shows. And I'm just thinking to myself, if you really feel that way, I don't know why you're watching his anime in the fucking
first place. Because, like, I personally love, like, the way this guy makes anime.
Yeah, I mean, sure, okay, like, and we're going to get into it, but basically, my overall impressions, I enjoyed it. I don't know, well, maybe in the discussion I'll gather my thoughts. I just watched the entire series today, and maybe we'll gather my thoughts and kind of see where it leads. But I definitely would recommend it if someone hasn't seen it to go ahead and give it a watch, especially if you did enjoy his other work, because I don't see any reason why if you like the other shows you wouldn't like this one. So, and with that said, I really would like to just get into just the story and the characters and really talk about things. So I mean,
I think the press story,
yeah, go ahead.
Like with the story, it started out like it kind of tricks you. So it starts out, mm-hmm. you think it's going to be like maybe a slice of life harem type of anime.
Well, Charlotte kind of does the same thing, too. You know, Charlotte does a very similar thing at the beginning of its show, too.
I guess Angel Beats kind of sort of does, too.
Well, no, but Angel Beats, like, it literally, you start off, you're in a parallel world. You don't know what the fuck is going on. Like, this one, it's just like, okay, it's just a slice of life bullshit. But there's still that intriguing thing of, like, okay, there's something going on here that we don't quite understand. And, like, I feel like that's how all three of these shows have in common. They all kind of start with that same premise, is that, like, something's going on in the first episode that is going to be resolved or figured out later on. And I think that's enough to keep you watching. A lot of anime.
I think one thing this show does a lot differently than either Charlotte or Angel Beats is how it sets up multiple different plot points that you don't even know where they're going. So, you know, you had that whole secondary plot that was kind of related to some professor disappearing, and I didn't know what was going on with that for a long time. And then you had the main plot with Yoda and Hina, and you're wondering, well, are these just two separate anime that they just kind of mash together? And then when the plot lines actually come together, you're like, this is perfect. So yeah, I thought the show did such a great job of like converging these multiple, like seemingly unrelated plot points, and then just making it the payoff so worth it if you stayed with the show right to the end.
Yeah, and I would say it did kind of an admirable job. I mean, it did okay doing that. I didn't really like that portion of the show. I didn't really give a shit about the hacker guy. What was his character's name? I don't even remember.
I actually don't off the top of my head remember
him. Jaro? I don't know. Is that who it was?
Hiroto Suzuki?
That's right. I'm looking at the character list. That was the other guy I was thinking of. It was one of the other supporting characters. Okay, yeah, the white-haired guy. Yeah, I mean, his character, even now, I really don't know what to think of him, especially that whole end sequence. Like, what the fuck was that about? I mean, we'll kind of go over it, I guess. Or we can talk about it now. Let's talk about his character. What do you think of his character? Since, like, that was, like, a whole subplot, and they did take a lot of time away from the main cast to go on the subplot with this loser. And, like, even though they tried to give him backstory, I I agree with
that's
said,
one thing. That's one thing I will give this show a little. I mean, some criticism about is his backstory should have been more integral to the plot, and I think it should have been fleshed out a little bit better.
Yeah, we don't know what happened to his parents, really. Right? We don't really know what happened. They just kind of like died, and then he got taken in by someone, and he's obviously some kind of expert, like hacker type of character. And I just didn't know. I really didn't know where they were going with it necessarily, and how it tied in. It was okay, but I mean, I don't know if it was
especially really at the ending because yeah, the ending you don't like you don't know what
part of the friend he become he becomes part of the friend group too, which is kind of weird. Like, why did he become part of the friend group and like relive memories with him of what?
Well,
she did?
I get why he was doing that. He was doing that to remind Yoda that Hina exists.
I know that
it seemed
like
Yoda kind of forgot, and I was thinking, what happened to him? Did they like cast a spell on him or something? But
yeah, but I don't know why, like. Why he, like, he didn't have to do that for a year or whatever. Like, the whole thing, he could have just went up to
that,
him. Like,
now that you mentioned that it was, like, a year, that does kind of not make much sense.
But then it's, like, later described, like, he's like, oh, I just wanted to live like a kid. So he was kind of doing it for a selfish reason. And then he drops him off there and he's like, I guess we're even now. I turned her in and got her captured, by the way. But I guess we're even now because I showed you where we were, where she was. That doesn't make you even, asshole. Like, how does that make you even? Like, not only did the last year you, like, pretend to be your his friend, then the first sign of, like, him not getting it, you flip out, and then he, like, realizes it finally. And then you're like, okay, well, now I'll show you where she actually was this whole time, you piece of shit. Oh, by the way, like, I'm the one who turned her in and got her fucking slaughtered and handicapped. But we're even now. And then he drives away. Like, what the fuck kind of ending was that with his character? Like, it just gave me a very sour taste. Like, I didn't.
And like, I will say they also didn't really do a good job of establishing just how evil the organization that captured her really is.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know, like, especially with his character. Like, he seemed to genuinely, like, feel bad and care and not want that to happen to her, but then he ends up going through with it anyway. So, like, and, like, his whole backstory, he was happy, his parents. Like, I just don't know what to feel about his character by the end of it. And I feel like it was just kind of, like, I don't know. I think the show could have been better without his character. I feel like they could have done the same, like, reveal and the same thing without having, like, the character there. But I get why they did it.
I think his character needed to be there to give, because his character was really giving the audience, kind of an awareness of what was going on from the bad guy's point of view. So he represented the bad guys and what was going on with them while Hina and Yota were just living out their life normally. And then when they converge together, that's when all these plot points start to make a lot more sense about how Hina has all of these divine powers and what happened to this doctor or professor or whatever that what's his name? I already forgot.
I don't remember the professor's name. But why, another thing, which I don't really remember why they were necessarily after the professor in the first place.
Well, they weren't after him. They were after, like, that computer event.
Yeah, but, like, how did they know about it? Like, why were they, like, looking into it? Because they didn't even know what he... The thing is, they didn't even know what he invented or what he was into. Like, he was hired to figure out what the professor's secret was, what he was really working on. But I don't know how the professor became a target in the first place. Like, he was just
all smart guys in anime become targets because you're smart.
I mean, he was just a known, like, genius, like, computer guy and stuff, like, and then, like, he's just suddenly a target by this organization, like, after he died that he, like, I don't know how they even figured out he was working on something secret. Like, I just didn't get any of that. I don't know if I just missed it or if I wasn't paying attention, but I didn't understand that, and I still don't know what the hell happened. I don't know how they even, the premise isn't fully established in my mind of why they were after him or how they would have even known that such a thing even existed. There was nothing there. They didn't even know it existed because we know that because they put him on the mission to figure out what the fuck was created in the first place. Right? So I don't know. That's just kind of another.
Make much sense to me. Is Hina had these like. Yeah, but Hina had these godlike powers. How come she couldn't predict that they were coming after her? She knew everything. She literally knew everything. How did she not see this coming?
I guess
she sort of did because she knew when they showed up that they were there for her. Well, but if she had all of this knowledge, she should have been able to find a way to prevent any of that from happening.
Which we can, we can go into that. I mean, I really would like to talk about that. This is kind of like the meat and potatoes of things, like the whole, her whole power, what it, her power means. So like, I'm still a little iffy on it. I guess it's some kind of quantum computer chip that was inside her brain, which gave her access to like basically
all knowledge. Yes.
But the thing is, her omnipresence power only could see 30 days in the future because that's when she knew she was going to lose the power. But as you said, she wasn't able to like know other things. And
on top of just knowing everything, she was also like an analytical genius who could literally solve any problem.
But the thing is, like, where that comes in, like, the scope of her power. Maybe it's because, you know, like, even, like, science fiction computers, even if you accept, like, technology could evolve to the point to do such a thing. Like, it's implied heavily she's still connected into, like, the virtual network in a detectable type of way, where the hacker was able to locate her existence through the network. So like the fact that she wasn't able to detect him is either like lazy writing to make the story work, or it was that he was really that good.
Hacker guy just
or he's like really that good.
That good.
Because he was able to find out about her, identify her, and then he decides to warn her, which, as you said, doesn't really make sense that he would have to warn her, because if she has access to all of this and she's connected to this network and she's supposed to have omnipresence over the network and over knowledge itself, it didn't really make sense that she wouldn't know that. But anyways, that aside, I mean, were you a fan of her power and what it turned out to be, like that reveal?
Yes, absolutely. She basically was a god.
I mean, in a sense.
If you could predict a horse race and just get it right every time, you're pretty much a god. I mean, like, all the stuff she did was impossible for a human being. So yeah, you have to at least admit that she was way more than a human.
In the episode where they, like, try to pay off the ramen episode where they, like, rebuild the ramen shop, why didn't they just do horse races and make the money and just give it to them?
I guess she was doing a lot of that stuff just to have fun.
I know that was the whole point, but even still, like, I don't know.
Still, if I was her, honestly, I would just go and bet on some horse races. Maybe.
Well, I mean,
make $1 trillion in the stock market.
I know hindsight is like whatever, but even in the end, like, and that would have made more sense. See, that's where I thought the story like could have gone, instead of having that hacker dude like finding her, maybe like they just started playing money and they become really rich, and then they something's going on, and then they discover that there's this person and that there might be some kind of ability that they have. Like, that would make sense, but they don't even go that angle, which is fine because I've seen that a million times too. But like, I just, especially at the end of the show where the main character decides that he wants to go into research and become a researcher, he could have used all that funding to like find a cure. Money doesn't hurt.
I mean, there isn't a cure for it, though.
That's the whole point.
He would have to reinvent that computer.
The whole point, though, is he wants to become a researcher to find the cure. Even
which is a resolution of the arc from the beginning, where he didn't know what he wanted to do after he finished school and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess that was a great way of resolving that I didn't even think about till now.
Yeah, but we're kind of just skipping all over the place. So Well, we talked a lot about Hina and her power, so I guess, what is his name? Yota?
Yeah.
What do you think of him as an MC? I've seen a lot of hate. I don't really...
He's a pretty good main character. He does evolve over the course of the show. I mean, yeah, he starts out kind of bland, but he does evolve.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay. I mean, as far as a protagonist goes, I mean, he was alright. I mean, he was there. I liked Hina better. And I think the story
Hina was the whole key to the show.
Without Hina, the show just
does not work. She is the real main character, in my opinion, too.
Yeah, he's kind of just like a companion to her character, in my opinion there. But I didn't really care either way. I mean, he gets a lot of hate on the internet for being just kind of like uncaring about any of his friends and like
really?
Selfish. Yeah.
Really?
Because like, well, people criticize him for his love relationship with what's her name?
Izanami?
Izanami chick, yeah. Like, they say, like, oh, he was supposed to be that's her childhood friend. He never seemed to care when she was sad, and, like, just a lot of stuff like that. He didn't want to do shit for his sister, and he just basically was forced to do everything. But, I don't know.
Does evolve over the course of the show, though. So
yeah.
Him starting off bland didn't really matter if you watch the entire show.
Especially people hate on his
More character development than I've seen from a lot of main characters.
Well, people hate on his backstory because, like, especially over the course of the show, like, especially with his relationship with Izanami, like, it's heavily implied he was a really shitty friend. I mean, because he didn't know anything she was into. He didn't know anything that was going on. The only thing
he knew he was in love with her.
Yeah.
Which is anime characters fall in love.
He didn't know that because, like, he even says when he was a kid, he didn't even, like, acknowledge that.
No.
He only decided he liked her when other guys started liking her and he realized that he couldn't have her. He admits that.
That's kind of shallow now that I think about it. I'm going to have to go back and watch that because I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he admits that when they were kids, he didn't really see her that way until they got older and the other guy started liking her like that. And then he's like, oh, that's when I started liking her. And then he even mentions, like, when I was a kid, I guess I had her all to myself, so I didn't really think about it. But now that other people want her, now I want her. He literally says that. So, like, for that reason alone, he's kind of a douchebag. And I'm glad that he
doesn't. Yeah, but she's a total waifu, so it's understandable where he's coming from.
She is a total waifu, but she deserves better than him.
So are you saying you don't ship Yota and Izanami?
No, I ship Izanami with literally any other guy in the show.
It's kind of like implied by the intro anyway that Asura is his best friend is kind of shipped with her, although you don't really actually see that in the show at all.
Well, yeah, I he's either he's shipped with her or the other chick, or I don't know. I don't know, because he could end up with any of the chicks. He could end up with what's the name of the chick from the ramen episode that runs the ramen shop?
Because
they're hanging, they're like in a lot of scenes together in the film, like the film they record in the later episodes.
All right, yeah, looking at the character list, her name is like Hikari Jingu.
Yeah, that's her. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, so what'd you think of her character?
I only remember her from the ramen episode, and then I think she was also in the movie, like when they were making that little movie at the end.
Yeah, she's just kind of there.
She's not really like a major character. She's like a background.
She's just a friend of his sister's. What about his sister? You like his sister?
His sister, I thought, was pretty cool.
What another weird thing I wanted to mention is, like, so in the first few episodes, he didn't really care about his sister, it seemed. But then later on, it's implied that he has a sister complex. But it kind of came out of nowhere. Because the episodes before the episode where, like, he's just obsessed over his sister, he didn't seem like he was that obsessed over her, at least in the introductory episodes.
I don't think you really saw much of his sister in the opening episodes, though.
But the thing is, you do see her, though, and because she does come into the table and he's not, like, acting, like, all, like, sister-y with her. But then later on, he's like, oh, I'll do anything for you. Which, it wasn't like that the first few episodes. So that just was kind of weird. I feel like they just threw that trope in there just because. Like, they didn't have to do that. I don't know why they did that.
Well,
they did that for the weebs.
Nah. You act like all weebs have a sister complex. That's not true at all.
Why do they have it? What does this... Like, what does him having a sister complex in this show... It's not even a harem. There's no point of him...
It's not a sister complex. It's just him being.
They literally say the line. Hina says.
I mean, just because they say the line doesn't make it true, though.
She said, "I'm so sick of your sister complex."
Hina was making an offhand joke.
No. And then she's like,
that's totally like, what was going on.
There's jokes about it all the time that he's like saying shit that's creepy and like being a weirdo. Like, I just. It came out of nowhere for me, and I didn't like it. I like her as a character. I mean, she's kind of, like, into making really shitty films. I mean, hey, what can you do?
Well, not just, like, no. She makes some awesome films. Which basically, when Hina takes over writing and stuff, and you start seeing that, like, these scripts start seeming very familiar, like, I could have sworn I'd seen a movie like that before. It is hilarious.
Yeah. She was an interesting character. Let's see, who else should we talk about?
And you know
about?
What? One other thing I'll say about this, because it all goes back to Hina. Hina made every other character in this show way more interesting just by being around them.
To a certain extent, I guess.
Hina is like the special magic sauce that just made this show great.
Well, the whole show is about her.
Like, yes, really but is. Like all these other characters, if you took Hina out of the show and just made a story with all these other characters, I don't think it would have worked. But the fact that Hina is there just makes every other character more interesting, just seeing how they play off of Hina.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I hate the CEO.
You notice, like, when Hina gets captured, it becomes kind of slightly less interesting just seeing the other characters interact with each other. You're just waiting for Hina to come back into the picture.
Yeah, I do want to deep dive into the ending and talk about that, but I just want to talk about more of these characters first. Like the CEO character. I hated that character.
I don't remember that character.
She's like the older lady character, the one who's like the CEO of the company, the villain. Like the main villain, the CEO.
The CEO is
the villain trick.
That's what she's going to be remembered as, too. The villain.
Yeah.
Looking at the fan wiki now, this fan wiki on the CEO can be summed up in about... Actually, it literally is about 3 sentences long. It has nothing on plot, trivia, references, and for personality, it says the CEO has a calm yet very assertive personality. That's literally all that anybody could say about the CEO.
I would say my least favorite episode ties into other characters, which was what is the name of the game they play?
I thought it was like checkers or chess or something.
What is the name of it? I forget what it's called. It starts with an Shogi. M.
I thought it was Shogi.
No, it's not regular Shogi. It's like whatever it's called. It's like
space,
the game that
Space Battle God Shogi.
It starts with an M. It's like it's the one like you can play on like computers.
All right, I pulled up the synopsis for that episode and it mentions.
What is the name of it?
It says, Mahjong.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Can't believe I didn't remember that.
I just watched it and I forgot it. But yeah, that episode was my least favorite, and I don't like the chick who ran it, who becomes like a character.
I thought that was kind of a cool episode. It seemed like he was just making up rules and stuff.
My biggest complaint about the show in general and the way the episodes work, it is like that type of anime, like it's like one of those slice of life style animes where it's like he just starts with like no friends, and then by the end of it, like he meets a chick, and then they just make a bunch of friends and they all hang out together, which is like, I mean, that's the most generic part of the show for me. But that aside, there's interesting enough stuff there, and there's things that still keep you engaged. Let's see. Anyone else worth talking about?
There's his best friend, Asura.
We talked about him
Briefly talked about him earlier.
He doesn't do much. I mean, there's the one plot point.
I feel like if I had to have a best friend, I would want it to be that guy.
The only thing they had, like, they literally do, like, one episode where it's, like, they have his, like, whole... they do his
like
whole
the one
story
where
arc.
He rides the motorcycle at
yeah,
the end
they,
and goes
they do him. His entire story arc in one episode they don't set it up. They're just like, all right, they're gonna in the motorcycle chase they do his whole story arc, which is like he got injured so they couldn't do basketball, and then like there was a moment that they failed and then they do it together, and like they could have set that up at least like a couple episodes ago. I don't know why they had to like do it all in the span of 5 minutes, like his entire arc.
And they had that, 13. They had 13 episodes to get a lot of plot and character development and stuff going, and they had a lot of plot and a lot of character development going in this show. So
yeah, And that episode was okay, where like she almost dies, where Hina gets not captured, but is a dumbass and gets locked, and with her omnipresence gets locked inside of a ice fan. Like, her omnipresence really is limited, isn't it?
It's kind of inconsistent, because it seems at times it's limitless, and yeah. Then it just seems at times where she isn't as omnipresent as she was in other episodes.
Yeah, I wish they explained if like she has to think about it to activate it, or if it's always active, because it's implied almost that like if she's not trying to think about it, then she doesn't just know it. So it does kind of work like a computer. You have to like put in a request to know something, and then you know it, versus like just constantly in a state of knowing, right?
Yeah, and for it to be something tied to a computer, you'd figure she would just automatically just be good at video games. But remember at the start when Yoda was teaching her how to play that game, she wasn't initially just great at it, but she eventually does become good
at it. She wasn't a full computer, that's a thing. I mean, she still was tangibly human, kind of like playing piano. She should have been good at playing piano too, like in theory, but she's still like she said when playing the piano, she's limited by the physical capabilities of her body. Like, with her dexterity and stuff like that. So maybe it applies to gaming in a sense. But she was playing an RPG, which is basically, like, I don't know. It's whatever. I don't think
I mean, like, if I had a god-level intellect, you'd better believe I'd be playing RPGs on the master settings.
I did like the video game subplot, like, throughout each episode where they, like, were playing games constantly. And I'm actually glad that subplot got a payoff at the end. I think that was cool.
Yes, because...
Probably my favorite
subplot. Clearly they were playing, like, some Dragon Quest ripoff. I felt like it would have been better if they were, like, maybe playing a Final Fantasy ripoff. But I was pretty particular about the games she was playing. And I was like, this game should have these mechanics in it. And I feel like this would make the show a little bit more intriguing if this had, like, you know, something like a materia-based level-up system or something like that. And yes, I went that far into it because everything about the show, from the video games they were playing to some of the ridiculous stuff that Hina had Yoda do to resolve whatever issue, whatever one of his friends was having at the time, was genuinely interesting. So, I guess another character that... Actually, two characters that I... Even though we don't really know much about them, they're just kind of interesting in how they're, like, involved in this plot at all. Yoda's parents. I never really got how they... Like, I'm guessing they were students of that professor, Hina's grandfather.
I'm a little confused. So, sorry. Yeah, we can talk about that more. I got confused because in the character list, there was a cameo from a dude from Charlotte in this. The dude with the blue hair and the glasses.
Really?
Yeah, that was Joe Juro guy. That's who I thought was the other guy.
Dude who just, like burst out really fast, like,
yeah, that was him. He made a cameo in episode 6, according to my anime list.
I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch episode 6. Episode 6 was when they went to the festival.
Yeah, he must have just been in the background. I didn't see that. I mean, but that confirms it's in the same universe as Charlotte.
Yes, so this is
that's not even a theory.
Put on Reddit,
and then Angel Beats, definitely, since it's in the afterworld, we can assume that's in the same world. So these three,
we've already established that Charlotte takes place in the same universe as My Hero Academia.
So, yeah, it's all adding up now.
Yeah,
but for real though, like, just talking about the, I mean, obviously it's a cameo, but like, that's interesting to think about. If this was in the same universe as Charlotte, this would have to be after Charlotte, right? But the thing is, what if the CEO and the agency here is the same, like, same company from Charlotte? Maybe, like, this is all leading up to an anime where it's going to be, like, full-on battle to take out the organization. And because in both of these shows, the organization kind of wins, in a way. They get more fucked over in Charlotte, but in this, the organization basically wins. They get exactly what they want without any consequences.
Consequences in the show, but that's we don't true. Know what happens after the show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think this is leading
maybe
up.
Maybe that professor put like some like failsafe in the system that if it was like out of contact with Hina for a certain amount of time, it would just like crash,
destroy the world. I'm theorizing there's going to be a show where it's going to be like basically all the characters from all the other shows are going to gather together and take out the organization.
Yes.
Because maybe the organization like takes all these like technology and magical powers and they're trying to harness them to take over heaven, to kill God.
And maybe that's how it plays in the Angel Beats.
Yeah, and then Angel comes down and then they take everyone from the Angel Beats area and they wage war with all the Charlotte characters and then all the other characters from this show all are implanted with these super chips and like it's just war. That's my pitch.
And then Angel, after receiving powers from Charlotte's Comet, becomes God.
She replaces God. I mean, it's a good theory. We'll have to expand on it.
Theory.
Check out our Reddit if you want to read more about our theories.
That's definitely an interesting one.
But anyways, sorry for that aside. We were talking about his his parents, right? Is that like?
I never got how his parents.
They were his like the professor.
They were the professor's students. But why was it just them that was just so close to the professor that he decided to leave his granddaughter with him?
Yeah, he didn't. It seems like you'd have more people if they were his students. Like they seem pretty fucking lazy. Like what kind of he's out there inventing that shit? What are they doing? Like his their dad doesn't even go to work.
They decided. Oh yeah, even though our professor was like. Electronic engineering and computer mathematical genius and all this other stuff. We're just gonna run this home life, and I don't even know where his parents work. I'm assuming his mom probably works at the pharmacy, local pharmacy, maybe or something. I don't know. And his dad probably works.
His dad didn't even go to work.
Job.
So
I don't know what was going on.
There was
the
joke that his dad like. Constantly wasn't going to work and instead was fucking around with them. So whatever he does, he definitely doesn't give a shit. He's not out there making computer chips that will save handicapped people.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wiki on like the parents, and it's slightly longer than the wiki on the CEO. Longer. Well, not even an entire sentence longer.
It kind of begs the question. Could there have been a chip invented that could have like allowed her to move and walk without having omnipresence? Was that really necessary? Like, what about omnipresence gave her the ability to do that?
Maybe the professor thought, you know what? I want my granddaughter to be.
I'll believe the concept that like you could make something like that. But if you could make that, it seems like making something that could give someone body control would be like child's play. But maybe I'm just stupid.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know as much as the professor did. Like, he invented a computer that could like basically predict all of reality and stuff.
Yeah.
I think if the computer and Hina had a truly evolved together, then Hina would have probably been able to literally destroy the world.
Well, another interesting parallel that I just thought of now, remember like Angel Beats actually had like a hacker dude in it too. Remember? Yeah. Like that was a whole thing in Angel Beats. It was like a hacker dude and hacking, like everything was like computer related. Maybe Charlotte was just a simulation.
Charlotte was a simulation. But there's a hacker from Angel Beats who's probably the same hacker from The Day I Became God. So that hacker dude dies.
And he's reincarnated.
To heaven in Angel Beats or whatever.
Yeah.
And he makes this simulation which goes through the whole world of Charlotte.
Yeah, to see how the world would have been if there were powers, you know?
Yeah. And then his simulation gets out of control, and then all of a sudden, the world of My Hero Academia.
Yep, and that's going to be the final reveal of My Hero, is that they're all in a sim.
I like where that would theory be goes.
I'd be pissed off if an anime ended like that, especially as long as My Hero. Yeah. And I was the greatest hero in the world. God, we need to talk more about My Hero. We spent two hours
talking about it.
When the new season comes out, we'll talk about it. But like, there's a lot of shit that I like. I just whatever. That aside, any other characters worth talking about here?
Not really. I didn't care too much about. I mean,
a lot of them. Did we talk about
Izanami enough? Like, you mentioned the Izanami, his relationship with her and stuff. The one thing about Izanami is she only really gets any kind of development in that one episode where you find out about her mother and you know, her father.
Every character kind of gets like one episode where their plot is kind of rushed through, in a sense. Like every character. Except for like Hina.
You figure she would get more development considering a major plot point of the beginning of the show is Hina helping Yoda to impress her.
Well, I think it was just like doing the trope of like slice of life anime and stuff like that, that there was just like open romance thing, but that fell apart. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, I liked her character. She's obviously my waifu of the show, so she's cool.
She's definitely mine.
I mean, her mother... How did her mother die? Do we know?
I do not remember.
Yeah, I mean, it was an emotional episode. People said, like, in the negative reviews on this again, which, you know, I usually don't read too many reviews on shows, but I had some time to kill before we filmed this or whatever, so I was like, okay, we'll just read some reviews what other people have been saying. And, like, a lot of people said the show's, like, not emotional at all. And like that the emotions were forced. I didn't really feel that way. I mean,
especially at the end when like Hina is going through that whole thing at that facility and he's trying to help her get her memories back. It's really emotional, especially at that point where you think he's going to give up because he can't reach out to her. But he didn't. Then Hina all of a sudden gains a little bit of her memory back and she remembers who he is.
And yeah, I wanted to get into that, like, once we got done with the characters and really just talk about how everything ended.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done with all the important characters.
Yeah, but as far as the ending goes, I mean, I did want to talk a little bit about Hina's, the whole episode with her family, when we actually learn about everything, like, her kind of origin, which was interesting, to say the least, I guess.
Yeah, her father is a piece of garbage.
One thing I did want to mention, right? The timeline of things for her, I'm still a little confused about. When does she get the chip put into her? Because her dad says that he only knew her backstory up until she was about 7. So I'm trying to make sense of when she was abandoned, and it was implied that...
We don't even know how old she is.
Well, her dad said that she's supposed to be like elementary school age. Her dad said he knew about her up till he was 7. And he clearly has kids, though, that are like at least like 6, his kids that run out of his house. And that's after he abandoned her. So I don't know the timeline. She's like
13 or 14 or something?
No, because she's supposed to be elementary school age. That's like middle school age.
That kind of makes.
Yoda's
in high school, right?
They just finished like high school and then go to cram school, like right before college. Like the final year is like them in cram school, which I guess is our equivalent of like the senior year, I guess.
I was assuming that she was maybe closer to Yoda's age, considering they obviously
unless she really was just looked younger because of her disability. That's what I was trying to make sense of. Like, is she like actually elementary school age? Or is she actually, because it's implied that he says specifically 7. So she could be like older and she really is just like a lolly like type of character. I just don't know. I don't know. I was confused about it.
I think she...
Because the timeline for it is a little confusing. And then I also just wanted to talk about the romance between them, because is there a romance? Is this a romantic thing? Like, I don't, because it's implied that they're like,
I know they say they love each other, but like
it's heavily implied that Yoda.
It's implied that he like chose like, her, and he's gonna like love her and take care of her more than just like a regular relationship, right?
Yeah, I think that was the implication. That I mean, it doesn't flat out come out and say they have that kind of relationship, but it's heavily implied that that's the kind of relationship Yoda like has with her again.
Yeah, but the thing is, the real question is just, like, the age. And the reason I wanted to mention all that is because, okay, this is what I want to talk about. So it was implied, the timeline of this is super duper important, though, for me, because her dad says that he only knew her life up till the 7, and then he said he left after that. And then he has, like, kids that are, like, 6, so she could be in that same range, 6, like, 13, 14, which would make sense. But then it's implied that when he left when she was 7, she was still in that vegetative state, right? And then, but the reason I mentioned that, why it's important.
But before you go on, I would like to mention again that Hina's father is human garbage.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about. So, like, the reason that's so important is because in a flashback, it's implied that she was a genius as a young, young child. That she actually was excelling, and I'm wondering if that flashback was before or after the chip. Because if it is implied that she was doing good and then went shitty and then got the chip, that's one thing. But if, like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because there's a flashback that shows her, like, doing things that would imply that she was smarter before, unless I just misread that scene. And that's why I'm, like, trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, I don't think they really resolve that in this show.
Well,
it might be something that they expand on in a visual novel or something.
Well, I'm just going to assume I might have misread that part, and I'm just going to assume that maybe she was just full vegetable, because it really wouldn't make sense for her dad to like see her decline. It would make sense if she was like that her whole life, and he just gave up trying to take care of her, because that's a reality, and that's a, like you said, it's a disgusting thing to do, but in reality...
Yeah, and her dad is like human garbage.
I would probably do the same thing, to be honest. I couldn't take care of a handicapped person that can't do anything. Like, that's like
if it's your
nightmare.
Child, it's a whole different story.
No, I'm like, I'm not, I don't give a shit.
No, her dad's human garbage, and there's no...
If she was always like that since birth, I mean, it's definitely a challenge, and I don't blame
him
for what
he did. But you know what? Nobody told him to have kids. So
yeah, but after he abandons
her, he goes and has 2 more kids.
You can't pick how your kids turn out.
If this dude doesn't want the responsibility of parenthood, why is he still having kids?
My thing is, it's not about the responsibility of parenthood. It's that his kid was literally completely mentally inept and would never be like a regular person. And the only reason
that justifies him abandoning his daughter because he just didn't feel like taking care of a handicapped person.
You know,
sounds ridiculous.
Because like the level of handicap, like she was full, like mentally disabled. Like she would have to have someone like fully take care of her for the rest of her life. It's different by
parents,
the end.
Her freaking parents.
No, it doesn't really matter who takes care of someone like that.
Well, I can tell you who should be doing it. Her parents.
It depends on the level of how bad things were. You got to remember that her mom was so terrible that she literally killed herself. Like, that's how bad it was. And like,
her mom, because her mom loved her daughter so much that, yeah, it was unbearable seeing your daughter in a state like that. But her dad's like, you know what? I had better things to do with my life. Yeah, I decided let my kid be somebody else's problem. That's basically what he did.
There's literally nothing you can say
that could justify that.
It's not justifiable, but I don't blame him for that.
I blame him. I completely blame him.
I can't blame anyone for doing that because it's such a burden having someone like that in your life.
Yeah,
that,
like your own kid. You're acting like it's like
it doesn't matter.
Man,
blood is nothing. It doesn't mean shit. That doesn't mean anything.
Are you kidding me?
It doesn't.
Yes, it does. I mean, I'm not gonna say blood necessarily.
You choose what matters in life,
but. Yo, if you have a kid and you just choose to abandon that kid because I just didn't feel like taking care of
it. It really depends on the extent of how bad she was in her condition. It's implied that later on her condition is a little bit better. But we don't know how bad the condition was at the time he left. Like, obviously it wasn't bad enough, like, it was like a pull-the-plug type of situation, but it was bad enough that she was basically the equivalent of, like, a Down syndrome person, which, for that, I mean, it's just a philosophy debate if you think people like that should even be allowed to live, which,
yes,
obviously, yeah, people should be, life should live, but, like, the thing is, if you had the option, if you knew they were going to be born like that, should you be able to eliminate that? And I would say yes, because no one wants that thing to live, and nature doesn't want them to live. So, like, for them to be born,
like, you're putting words into nature's mouth at this point.
No, they couldn't survive in, like, the natural world. Natural selection, they would have easily died. A lot of those people are kept alive through, like, machines. But the thing is, she's not to that extent, or we don't know what level of extent or how difficult it was. When we see her by the end of the show, the only reason we have the level of feeling we do to her is because of how she was when she wasn't her natural self. So that's why the show gets tricky, especially in the ending sequence, because it's like we as the audience have this deeper relationship with this character. But like if we just met this character in her original state, we wouldn't have felt that way. And that's the reality for
everyone. I can tell
you
this much, if I was that character's father, I would not be Hina's father, because that dude is literal human dog shit.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know if I won't say he did the wrong thing, and I won't say he did the right thing.
I will say definitely, definitively, he did the wrong thing.
In situations like that, I think there is no... It's not fair. It's a not fair situation.
You're trying to justify. You're trying to like do these mental gymnastics to justify a parent abandoning their child.
It doesn't matter. There's context.
Like there's like literally no amount of logic you could twist that makes what he did acceptable.
I don't think a parent should have to sacrifice their life for a child. Point blank. Period. In any circumstance.
I don't even like.
They shouldn't.
Like
you.
Wow.
You can say morally wise. You might agree with that, and that's your opinion. But I don't think a parent owes anything to a child, just like a child doesn't owe anything to a parent.
I think morally, anybody who agrees with the statement you just said
should not
be a parent.
Life itself is the greatest privilege there is. So if you're able to live in this world, you should be grateful of that. You shouldn't expect anything of anyone, and the world shouldn't expect anything of you.
And honestly, if you are willing to... like bring a new life into this world, you need to accept responsibility for that life.
Okay, but again, that's if you're mentally capable of handling the situation. You're like saying like a girl who has a child that she didn't want and she couldn't take care of her mentally, you know, financially. You're saying people that send those kids for adoption are evil, just as evil. That's what you're saying.
No.
That's essentially what he's done.
No.
That's essentially what he's done here. He had a child he couldn't mentally
you're trying to equate two different situations.
No, they're
like,
not.
The thing
they're
is,
not.
Like a girl who brings a child in this world.
No, they're not.
Like,
he was
take
not
care
mental-
for whatever reason. Okay. She is like
no.
the responsible thing by giving up custody.
And it's
just being irresponsible.
No, it's
by
not irresponsible. Okay, no, because if he mentally could not handle it, right? His wife literally committed suicide because of the situation. He probably was on the bottom of the barrels of his mentality. He might have killed himself if he stayed on. He could not function as a parent mentally. If he could not handle that situation, he did the right thing by giving her to care of people that literally cared. And the person she was with actually cared about her well-being a lot. So you're saying, like, for her to go in a situation where she's being cared for, I think is just bullshit. Like, the parent is not always the best guardian, especially
the responsibility. It was not about any mental issues or anything.
No,
you are trying
true.
Really hard to make this guy seem good when he just was not that good of a guy.
If he truly felt that way, he shouldn't have a kid. You shouldn't force someone to have a kid if they don't want the kid, dude. If he can't that's why he shouldn't have the kid. You can't say that.
Why did
he
have two more kids then?
Maybe because
he just didn't want the responsibility.
Maybe he wouldn't have
abandoned. It's like he just couldn't keep it in his pants, but he's like, take care of a kid if it's, you know.
Maybe if his wife was still alive, he could have handled it, but mentally he couldn't. Mentally he couldn't, but he had his wife in that new relationship, and they had... They had kids. The thing is, we just don't know.
I'm not going to sit here and judge his character. I'm going to judge his character. This dude was
not
dog shit.
I don't think so. I
yeah,
think
yeah.
It's a very complex topic, and I don't necessarily like talking about it too much because it is very debatable. But the thing is, it depends on how you value your life, how you value your relationships, and I have a very nuanced perspective of it because I don't value any life, and I think everything is equally worthless because I'm a nihilist. And that's just the way it is. And you give things value. So if someone decides that they don't want to deal with something that's troublesome, or if they would go into a situation where they would beat the kitty potentially, or abuse the child, or anything negative in that way, which is very likely for people that are mental illness or have to deal with their children. I recently
did that dude in that show seem like he had a mental illness.
Let me tell you a story. Recently at my job, I literally talked to a lady who was dealing with her mother who had dementia, and she was just telling me how fucking grateful she's going to be when that dumb dimensional bitch is out of her house or just dies. She literally told me that. And that's how sick these people are about taking care of people with mental illness or physical handicaps. They don't like it. None of them like it. So a lot of those people are better off in care of professionals that actually have reasons, like the character that we met, which I forget her name, but she was a good character that actually wanted the well-being because of what happened to her daughter. People like that do exist, and I think the care of these type of handicapped people should be left to them. To people like him,
but it's
not to people like me.
Justify him giving up, because the thing is, he did give up his daughter because he had a mental illness. He did give up his daughter because
we don't know that
what was in her best interest. He gave her up just because he didn't feel like dealing with the headache.
That's undermining his
situation. What reason did he give in a show? What reason did he give? Because
his wife
this much
killed
from
herself,
the way he was portrayed,
and
he did not have a mental illness.
No, his
he was a functional adult. He had
he's
two other
better
kids,
now.
He had a wife.
He's better now because he got his shit together over time, and he didn't want anything to do with her because it was just too sad to deal with. And this is just a reality we face every day, and this type of stuff happens in real life, and I think it's the fact that we're having this conversation, it's really kind of what the whole point of it was. You're supposed to feel that way, and the thing is, you're supposed to feel both ways. And honestly, I just don't think a parent has as much responsibility as you're giving them. That's what I'll say about it.
Parent,
I really don't.
I mean, like the thing is, you're saying like you should just be able to bring a kid into this world, and then if you don't want it, just toss it aside, and then continue doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
Because you felt like it, and at that point, if you don't feel like dealing with the responsibility of kids, don't have kids. Don't ditch one kid and then go have two more.
We don't even know the situation. It happens all the time. You could knock up a chick and not want the kid, but you can't force her to get an abortion, but she has the kid. I think it's that father's right to abandon the kid. I'm just saying, I don't think it's right for women to have the final say in things, because a man has no control in that situation. So, and you can pay child support, you can do whatever you want, you can call the deadbeat dad, but I don't think a man should be, it takes two people to do this thing. So like, and the thing is, the woman died in the situation because it was unbearable
for the kid,
and no one chose for the kid to be like that, and that's the thing. So at the end of the day, no one chose the situation. So however you react to it,
I don't know if you know much about how reproduction works, but you make some choices that go into this whole reproduction process. You actively make choices that lead to it.
But you don't know that's going to be the end result.
Oh, come on. You know it's a high possibility. You know exactly what...
It's not necessarily a high possibility.
That's like saying when you jump out into like traffic on a highway, you're not prepared to die from getting hit by a car.
No, it's not the same.
You know, it's not an absolute inevitability, but it's a high probability that it's going to happen.
No. And even if it was planned, still the reality of having a handicapped child is so complex that I cannot judge anyone, because that I have seen that situation play out. I have personally talked to, worked with people that have been in situations like that, and it is the most fucked up thing I think in this world. I think there's fewer things that are fucked up. I think it's easier for you to have a child die than it is to live with a child that has a mental illness.
I'm not saying it's
handicap
easy.
That
I'm
significantly
not saying it's easy, but
I'm saying you're not justified in just keeping a kid
if it's convenient for you. If you have a good reason,
his wife killed herself.
So he decides to abandon the only thing his wife.
What was he supposed to do? He has to work. He has to live a life. He didn't have time to 24/7 take care of her, bro.
What is he supposed to do?
Yet he goes on and he has two more kids.
Oh, you're like, telling me he can't just have a family and have a life?
I guess if he gets sick of those kids, he can just go toss them aside too and just move on to wherever else he wants.
What benefit to her life? Say he left her there and he came and visited her. Would it not be harder for her for him to come?
He didn't even go and visit her.
But I'm saying that's why he shouldn't have done that, because that would have been more detrimental to her character.
You could tell Hina felt some kind of way about the guy when
she didn't care at all. Yeah. She truly didn't care. You care more about the abandonment than Hina did, and that really shows a lot.
No.
You're getting offended for other people. Welcome to the
don't make me sound like
society
some social justice warrior
today. You're just getting offended for people that didn't even care. Her character didn't care, so you shouldn't care. Even if you think it's against your personal moral belief, if you feel that way personally, if you ever were in that situation, that's commendable. But I'm not going to judge someone else for doing it, and you shouldn't either. Because we don't know the nuances or the complexities of the story.
I'm going to just go ahead and say you're right. You know, have as many kids as you want. You know, toss them aside. Go have some more kids. Hey, if you have, like, you know, 5 or 6 kids, and, like, you know, as long as you drop them off at the right orphanage, you bear no responsibility. Screw it. You only live once.
This is Japan, too, we're talking about. This is Japan, dude. They do this shit on the regular. Japan fathers abandon their kids all the time for things like this. That's a cultural thing in Japan.
I don't know the statistics on that, but you make it sound like it's something that, you know...
Well, Japanese fathers don't like dealing with, like, just any kids with any problems. Like, they're very traditional.
I wish I could treat bills like you think guys should treat kids. I wish I could just abandon bills when I just get sick of paying them. But we live in the real world where if you for instance, you buy a car or whatever, you buy a house, whoever you're buying that car or house from doesn't really give two craps if you just decide, I just don't want the responsibility
this
anymore.
Topic. We spent half the podcast on this topic. We both have opposing views. It's a very nuanced topic. It's a conversation that is strange. I did not expect it to have going into this anime. But all that aside, what did you think of the actual resolution, though? The ending with him going there, trying to rehabilitate her, almost giving up several times, and having to be reminded by several people that he probably shouldn't do that if he wasn't a piece of shit.
I thought the resolution where he was at the facility and stuff, it was great. It didn't rush it. It, like, gave time, and it showed him trying and failing at different things over and over and getting frustrated and coming close to giving up, which is, I felt, something a little bit more relatable, because if you went into that thinking that it was just going to be all peaches and he was going to see her, and she was just going to instantly recognize him, they were going to go off and live happily ever after, you probably weren't fully grounded in reality of situations like that. So I do like that they did treat it a little more seriously, and they showed how this could possibly happen in a more realistic scenario. I thought that it made that moment where she does finally remember him and she starts saying his name over and over. It made that a little bit more emotional, because you saw him going through so much and, like, reaching the point of, like, basically where he just didn't think he was going to be able to do anything. He was willing to give up. And when you reach that point and you think that there's nothing I can do anymore, and it's just something you really want to happen but you just can't make it happen, that feeling where your work that you put in is finally validated, it's like a huge relief.
And here's the thing, I just want to say one more thing. That's something her father probably did and never got.
I'm gonna leave the father.
That's why he gave up. And the thing is, the reason I mentioned that is because, honestly, I heard this ending, a lot of people hated it. So what I was assuming was going to happen is that she wasn't going to, like, come back. And you know what? I would have been fine with it if he gave up.
I would not have been fine with that.
I would have been okay with that.
It goes against the character development that he had up to that point.
But the thing is, I think that was still development. Yota actually decided that was best for her, like we were talking about before. Sometimes it's best for people that have these severe handicaps to be away from the situation. But the thing is, his character was resolved mentally and was willing to take this commitment. And he chose the commitment, unlike the father. And he decided to choose the commitment, and now he's going to spend the rest of his life taking care of her. And that's his prerogative. He chose that. I don't know how long someone with this condition lives. To be honest with you, is this condition even real? I don't even know. I don't know anything about this condition or anything about it or what it could be.
Well, let's do a quick Google search.
Yeah, so and I don't know if her like life expectancy is short. I know he's going to like go to research it. And I was satisfied ultimately with this ending, but I would have been okay with the other ending too, because the thing is, the reality is, I'm not going to judge the characters for whatever they choose. And like, I'm glad to see that she retained some of the memories, but like even the lady who truly cared about her like didn't know if it was actually her or the machine. And that was an argument he had. And that's an argument that we would have with ourselves when we talk about this, how much of what that personality was her versus the machine. And at the end, I'm glad that they had the resolution that it was truly her, just kind of the machine amplified her. But the thing is, we would have never seen that if it wasn't the machine. And like, this show really makes you think about people that are in these situations. Like I said, people with severe physical handicaps or even mental handicaps for that matter, if they're able to have that cured and you got to see who they were, obviously it would give you more empathy for those people. Because obviously I mentioned earlier, which makes me sound like a cold-hearted asshole, people that live with these severe function issues mentally, physically, it really would be a miserable life, and I hate life even existing like that. It actually does make me sad. But like, shows like this reminds you, okay, well, they're still people, at least to a certain extent, even if they are heavily dysfunction. And if they had a chance, then you could see that. But the thing is, I don't know. It just depends on the level, I guess. And this level, I think, is manageable, and she was at least able to like talk and function and remember things and care. I don't know what type of weird sexual relationship they might have in the future. It's going to be very kinky, and I don't even want to think about it.
I think you're not even like, you know, you're looking like past the importance.
The sexual relationship between them
doesn't really matter as much as the fact that they keep
It does if you want to get your dick wet, which, as we know, with a Japanese main protagonist, is that's their entire motive for living. And for him to give up
Yoda was willing to give that up to like keep Hina. So Yoda was willing to sacrifice a lot for Hina because he genuinely loved her, and he didn't just have this lust like he did for the ultimate waifu Izanami, which Izanami's still ultimate waifu. I don't care what anyone says, but it was a lot deeper than that, and it was something, I guess, if you know, you haven't actually experienced it, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. I haven't personally experienced it, so I am having a hard time wrapping my head around it, but it's obviously something that mattered more to him. His relationship with Hina mattered more to him,
I mean,
than like any kind of love or sexual relationship.
But the thing is, yeah, I mean, you could argue that, but like, it's not very anime, you know? It's not very
well, the thing is,
cash money.
We've talked about the other shows that what's his name, June.
Well, like, that's why like these endings are kind of depressing. Like
all three of those shows hit from like by the ending of it, they hit on like themes that don't go off in the direction of a normal anime, especially an anime of a genre that you think the show is part of. So yeah, Charlotte's ending, where Yu ends up losing all of his memories of who Tomari was, and basically being somewhat handicapped for the rest of his life, but Tomari still wanting to be with him, is kind of similar to Yoda's relationship with Hina by the end, except he, like, you know, where Yu was the main character and Hina, actually, I guess Hina is still, I consider, the main character. So it's kind of a very similar ending to Charlotte. And then in Angel Beats, where you had, like, the main character, I can't remember the main character from Angel Beats anymore, but him and Angel, like, despite the fact that Angel, he knew that, like, his feelings for Angel was what she needed to hear to move on, so that they were never going to be together. It was the fact that he was able to even have those feelings that made gave him some kind of resolution.
Should we, like, spoil other anime in these podcasts?
Well, we've spoiled these other anime in previous podcasts. Well, so.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, someone might just watch this episode. They might not have seen our other ones.
Well, I think you should put a disclaimer at the start of this when it goes on.
We're spoiling every anime that we've covered, like, so far. So, no, like, if you haven't watched
the thing is, I think, you know, since this was the last show that the last show we covered from this guy, it's good to analyze it from, like, the perspective of some people seeing those other shows and draw comparisons, because you were saying that this isn't like how you expected anime to end as far as, like, the sexual tension or whatever between the characters, but none of his other shows were either. They all drew on something a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
So it like, you can't really go into any of his shows expecting the type of stuff that you would see in a typical anime. This is not a light novel adaptation. This is not your typical harem. This is not a romance comedy.
OVA.
This is like all three of the anime, Charlotte, Angel Beats, and The Day I Became a God. They're anime that, like, can tell, like, a lighthearted story, can have fun and interesting characters, but can explore deeper themes with like a little bit more nuance than a typical anime could.
Yeah, which I appreciate the fact. A lot of anime fans, apparently not so much. Apparently there's a whole hate committee behind it, which, very surprising to me. I mean, overall, I mean, which I think, I mean, we've been running a long time. I guess my best moment, though, I think overall the entire show, that's a tough one. Like, what was your favorite moment? Let me think. Do you have one off the top of your head?
My favorite moment had to be that moment at the end where Hina remembered who he was and just kept saying his name. Like, it was the most emotional moment for the show for me, and it's the moment that stuck out with me more than any other moment in the show.
Yeah. I think that moment was pretty good. I also would say I really enjoyed, because I liked the video game subplot, I enjoyed the moment where he stayed up all night to level up the characters for her. I thought that was very, very cool, and that she, like, got to experience that he did that. Because I think, ultimately, that's probably what really helped her a lot. So that was a cool moment. I'm trying to think. Other cool moments, man. Really trying to run through the episodes. A lot of them just kind of have one-shot stories. It's really just like that style, slice of life style, where it's just like, you know, there's a little plot that happens every episode. And I guess the episode with what's her name? Izanami and her dad, I guess. That's probably my favorite just standalone plotline episode, I guess. Not counting, like, the overall, like, plot. It's, like, my favorite one-off plot, I guess.
Yeah, because all the other, like, standalone plots were kind of weak in comparison.
Yeah.
The plot with Asura, like, you get all of that development over the course of a single motorcycle ride, and I was like, come on. So.
Yeah, and then. Yeah, so I guess that was my favorite moment, and, like, I guess the best aspect about the show, like, all of his shows, I do like the narrative of the way he tells his stories. I do like that it is different, and there shows that you can actually talk about deeper meanings behind things. I think every one of these shows we covered, we've had, like, a conversation that's about something, like, deeper than the surface level of the show. And I think that's cool that we're able to do that, and it actually makes you questions, like, the endings of all the shows kind of, you know, make you think what will happen next to everyone. And I do like how everything was left off. I don't expect there to ever be like a sequel of any kind, but yeah.
And in a way, that's a good thing. I kind of don't want a sequel because...
Well, all of his shows are kind of like that. All of his shows kind of end in one season where, like, they don't really even have the possibility to continue. And I mean... not easily, at least. You'd kind of have to basically do all new cast. and retcon things to get it to work. So, but I like it, and I like what he does, and I hope he keeps doing it. So fuck all, fuck
because
everyone
like
who's
each,
a hater.
Each of his shows, with the exception of Angel Beats, which at some point maybe in the future I would maybe like to go back and just re-explore Angel Beats, because I think Angel Beats is a show that you could get a lot more out of your second.
Maybe I would like to play the visual novel, maybe.
Yeah.
Get a hold of it. That could be fun. Maybe we could get a.
It ends on a new beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, it ends on a new beginning where, like, the ending is not the end of the story, but it's the beginning of another story. So that story, like, it could be whatever you think those characters are going to make of it. So it just allows you to continue to think more about the possibilities of what could happen at the end of the show, rather than, and I think for different people, depending on how they interpret the characters, like that new story is going to go in completely different directions. And that's the fun. And also like a lot of the enjoyment of the experiences you get out of those shows is just that your interpretation of how these events and these how these events affected these characters and where you think they should go from there is left up to you. So I
guess with that, I mean, overall, my final thoughts on the show, it is a show that I would definitely recommend it, but after seeing so much negativity, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't recommend this to every person that watches anime like I thought of with the other shows. Just because now that I've really think about it, an average anime fan might not enjoy this as much as we did, because some people really go into these shows, I don't know what they're expecting. Like, so many comments are like, after episode 9, after episode 10, I'm completely checked out. I don't give a fuck. It was good up till that point. The ending, especially when I asked the Charlotte Reddit, they said the ending didn't compare to Charlotte, which I think they're kind of on the same level for me. And I don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing, but I think overall it's a show I still would recommend for most people that like something interesting that makes you think, and it has some good aspects in most things. I don't think there was anything that was blatantly terrible. There's some confusing things like that we talked about earlier with like the overall plot and like the limitations of the power and everything like that, but I think it still tells a story that was worth watching. And the fact that they were able to do an anime like this in like 12 episodes. I've seen anime like this that were like, you know, 24, 50 episodes that basically did the same amount of like stuff in it. So I think, yeah, with that, it's really awesome. What were your final thoughts, Noob?
My final thoughts are pretty much the same as yours. It's an anime I would definitely recommend, but it's also an anime that I can acknowledge that not your average anime watcher is probably going to like. It has a lot of things in a show to like for your average anime fan, but it's a show that kind of like stands on its own. I couldn't really even classify it into a genre. I think that's the same thing with his other shows either. It's like hard to pinpoint a genre this falls into, because the minute you try to pit it into a genre, it changes into something else.
Yeah.
So I definitely do recommend watching this, but go into this with an open mind, and I think you're going to find a lot to love here. That's going to be my final thoughts on the show.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. My anime list, by the way, says it's drama fantasy, which I guess is true.
Yeah.
I guess all three of these are kind of dramas, which, I mean, they're a type of drama, so which... I like drama animes. I like drama fiction. So that's why I think I enjoy these more than people. I guess if you really just don't like drama anime, then don't fucking watch these. Like, I think everyone who gave this a 1 out of 10 was wanting it to be like a slice of life comedy harem. But, you know, this is a drama. Like,
you're like, we want
drama.
More waifus than, or like, maybe they were watching Charlotte's like, how come a show with superpowers doesn't have enough fight scenes? Or watching Angel Beats is like, when do they slay God?
So, and if you're listening to this, If you want to get a good laugh, go ahead and go to My Anime List and read some of these dudes' reviews that gave it a 1 out of 10. One guy gave it a 1 out of 10, and I looked at what his number one anime is, and it was Full Metal Alchemist, which is a good anime, but yeah, I mean...
It's a great anime.
If that's your favorite anime, then, I mean... You gave this a 1 out of 10.
What did he say? Did he show what he said about it or anything?
It did. I just don't want to get into it on stream. We'll go over it off stream. And like I said, if anyone's listening wants to read those, I recommend it just to see like the type of stuff these people are saying that gave it a 1 out of 10. And with that said, what are you feeling for our My Anime List rating on this?
I really love the show. I think it did a lot of things well, but it did have some stuff that I felt like they could have did more on, especially like the standalone character arcs and stuff.
Well,
so I'd be willing to go with like maybe an 8 personally.
We did give Angel Beats and Charlotte also an 8.
Yeah, I would say it's on the level of those two.
And I would agree. Now, I still think I like those two better.
I mean, out of those three shows, I would say Angel Beats was probably my favorite of all three.
Yeah.
And then I would say Angel this Beat, show kind of ties with Charlotte for me.
And this show was also one episode shorter than those. Those were 13 episodes. This one was 12. So
I thought this was also 13.
Was it? No, I'm pretty sure it was 12.
I mean, the anime wiki says it was 13 episodes.
Was it 13? I thought it was 12.
You're right. It was 12. Like,
okay.
It says 13 episodes, but it only lists 12 episodes.
That could be a typo. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, unless there's like an OVA that I missed or something.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't an OVA that you missed, considering this anime literally
just came out. Yeah, it just came out. So, I mean, it's possible.
That would have been the fastest turnaround for an OVA ever.
But yeah, so I mean, it was one episode shorter, and like, I don't know if they could have gotten an... I just liked it. I think 8 is fair. I'll agree with an 8.
I mean, it kind of ties with Charlotte for me, especially considering they had like very similar endings and stuff. Angel Beats for me just hit like a whole nother emotional chord entirely. So,
well, yeah, Angel Beats is. Like,
I feel like
really
Angel
deep.
Beats should go up a point, but
no, we haven't given anything a 9 except Spirited Away. On we had like a special Spirited Away movie edition that's only on YouTube. We gave that one a 9. So, yeah. I mean, maybe we'll have like a special where we re-go through the list. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. But I think for now, we're going to end it. So, The Day I Became God, we're going to give it a 8 out of 10. We both give it a recommend. I'm glad that we didn't have we did have an argument this episode.
Yeah,
but it wasn't about how good the anime was.
It wasn't about the good.
And
yeah.
I don't think I insulted the anime fans or the weebs as much. I think I just insulted like handicapped people. Which, if there's anyone that's handicapped that's listening to this, I promise I really don't hate you, and I think you should live. And if you have family like that, I just for me personally, I can't blame someone and I can't hate them. And that was my point of the whole thing. So with that said,
yeah.
You have anything else to say? Any comments?
I'll go into what we're going to be covering in the next podcast, which is another favorite anime of mine, My Second Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom. So see you in the next one.
No idea about. So with that, Noob, Solo, we're all signing out. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Ciao.